Con Show with Anna DeBlantis right here.
That's a throwback, isn't it?
Yeah.
720 WGN. Richard Roper's here. Susie Sunshine is here. Kevin and Violetta are here. Judy here, but not here.
Okay.
All right.
Are you trying to drown out the press? Because I won't have it.
You, right, she excluded from the conversation.
Disinvited you to the show. We're going to have you stand outside. But we did bring in...
Then expect silence from everyone.
Right. We did bring in the Joseph Goebbels News Agency to sit and actually and give us some questions,
oh,
too.
Boy. Yeah. Wow.
Mm-hmm. All right. Wow. I know. First one to go there loses, right? I just lost. All right. Richard, what do you have on the agenda for this weekend at the movie theaters? Because this is a big Oscar weekend. We're going to talk a little bit about that. But
yeah,
there's a movie here that you just absolutely love.
Yeah, it's called Get Out. And my prediction for you guys is this very low-budget movie that kind of is under the radar, but it's starting to get a lot of buzz. It's going to pull in about $30 million over the weekend, get rave reviews, and make a directing star out of Jordan Peele. Now, you heard of Key and Peele, right?
Sure.
The comedy duo. He's half of the duo. He's the writer-director of this movie. It's called Get Out. It looks, if you see the trailers and the commercials, I know Ro enjoys the YouTube versions of these movies.
Yep.
Looks like a horror movie, you know, like, okay, they're out in the suburbs and bad things are happening. It is so much more than that. The setup is Allison Williams, who we know and love from Girls, right? Mm-hmm. Plays the typical, you know, kind of character that she usually plays, you know, beautiful girl from a successful family. And she's been dating a black guy for about 5 months, and now it's time to go out to the country, to the big estate, and meet mom and dad, Bradley Whitford.
Sort of a guest who's coming to dinner.
Exactly. And Bradley Whitford, who, you know, from the West Wing, who's, of course, a well-known liberal in real life, who's perfectly cast as the dad who's the neurosurgeon in the comfortable sweater, who says all those things that are just like, you know, he's trying to prove how much he's not a racist. So the first, you know, one of the first things he says to the kid when he meets him, I would have voted a third time for Obama if I had the chance. You know, he's like one of those kinds of things. And so this scene here is Daniel Kaluuya is the boyfriend. Allison Williams is the girlfriend. And now they're meeting mom and dad. They're at the house for the first time.
Oh. So how long has this been going on, this thing? How long?
4 months.
4 months?
Mm. 5 months, actually.
She's right. I'm wrong.
Attaboy. Better get used to saying that.
Please, I'm so sorry.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. She's right. I'm wrong. See?
Does he have an off button? This is exhausting.
I know, and I want to give you a tour.
Can you
like
unpack first?
You want to unpack before the tour?
He gives him a tour of the house. He's like, this artwork's from Bali. I just love exploring other cultures. So there's a lot of that going on as he's meeting like all the white folks in the suburbs. And you think, okay, is this going to be like an extended Key and Peele sketch? But then it becomes a little bit, as Ro mentioned, Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, kind of meets the Stepford Wives, kind of meets Rosemary's Baby. And then it goes off in a direction... It's a bold and daring and original and crazy direction it goes off. And you got to be prepared for something really different. I don't want to say too much more about that because you really got to experience. But the filmmaking is really cool and kind of unsettling. The racial discussions will make you a little uncomfortable, which is kind of awesome. Some people were saying, oh, this is racist, reverse racist. It's not. When you see the film, you'll see everybody gets equal, you know, is equally targeted by the jokes. Really funny, really smart. 3.5 stars for Get Out.
I can't wait to see that. It takes a
crazy
weird
stuff.
Turn. I'm dying to know what turn
gosh,
that
the
is.
The last act is like, the last 20 minutes is just absolutely fabulous. It is a hard R finale to this.
And Jordan Peele is not in the film.
No.
He directs the film.
And wrote it.
So is this the beginning of, has he done a lot of directing?
You know, I'm sure he's done some short stuff in the stuff they've done together, they were
directing that
But it's clearly a very accomplished filmmaker. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you didn't know who it was, you'd say, well, this is a great young director. And it is amazing to me. I think it's a tribute. I honestly don't know what the studio is that they made this movie. Because if you, on the written page, I mean, the page, it's crazy. It's so nuts. And it's so refreshing and cool to see something that is absolutely unlike anything else that you've seen.
Huh.
Even though it pays homage to a lot of other films.
And it has received 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Really?
I thought that was impossible.
That means no negative. Well, then this is when somebody who sees that wants to make a name for themselves and they'll write the negative review so they can be the one rotten on there. But that's impressive.
That's so impressive.
That's amazing.
I mean,
Allison Williams is Brian Williams' daughter, right, from Girls, has had this very, very, very solid ascendant career, right?
I'll tell you, she's movie star beautiful. She reminds me a little bit of almost kind of a young Ally McGraw, but also really good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she has that you know, that certain something that you could be. She could be a movie star. I mean, I could see her doing the romantic comedies and then serious drama. She's very funny here because, again, she's playing, you know, kind of the role you're used to seeing her playing, kind of the princess. And then, wow, what happens with her? Good for her for doing it.
Really?
I'll just leave it at that. Okay.
And also, the great Catherine Keener plays her mom.
Yeah, plays the mom, who's a therapist. I mean, they're perfectly cast. Catherine Keener and Bradley Whitford as, you know, the very comfortable, upper middle class, suburban, successful parents who are super liberal. But, you know, the black boyfriend, you know. Dealing with it a little bit there, you know.
Oh my word, I'm excited.
Like, they bring over their friend who's a retired former golfer, and he immediately says, oh, you know, do you golf? To the young black guy, and he goes, nah, not that much. And he goes, well, I know Tiger. Do you know Tiger? It's very Trumpian. Like, well, do you know them? You know,
right,
you set up a meeting,
the black person,
right.
You know.
All right, we will. you want to do the second one, then we'll talk about the Oscars. Actually,
sure.
Let's do it that way. Let's talk about the second film here. This is a documentary.
Yeah, this is called Dying Laughing. It's a great documentary. 3.5 stars for this as well. They've got all these great comics talking about their art. But what I really love about this is, as the title implies, Dying Laughing, it's all about bombing on stage and dealing with hecklers. And you got everybody from Jerry Lewis to the late Gary Shandling to Jerry Seinfeld, Kevin Hart, Jamie Foxx, Amy Schumer, all of them talking about the times, like any other comic who's ever plied their trade, where they've just absolutely bombed and had to deal with hecklers.
Now, do we have a...
I think we have some
there?
Clips.
Do we have a clip?
Bunch of clips.
You really start looking at everything when you get booed off the stage. You can have 10 good shows, but when they boo you off the stage, you start thinking about your future, like your finances. Boo or do you like that? You get booed off the stage, and you run straight home and start thinking about, damn, I might have to send this furniture set back to Rent-A-Center.
Jimmy Fox there.
That's great.
And that's Jamie Foxx.
That's the thing. It's like all these greatly successful. And there's some British comics that I didn't know that well, but they're really funny. One of them tells a story about he's playing a show, and a very, very elderly woman just comes up to the front of the stage and says to him, "You should just go home." And he says, he looked at her and he goes, "Well, you're never going to see another strawberry season, so that." Pretty British kind of put down, you know. Really good stuff. If you're interested in comedy, it's just interesting. It's very, and there's some very vulnerable moments as well, where they're being very honest about how it's just soul crushing when you don't win that crowd over. And just the whole nature of a job where you drive from city to city to get, you know, grab a microphone and try to make 200 strangers laugh, which, you know.
Hard to do.
And here's Sarah Silverman and a friend of the show, and frenemy of the show, Gilbert Gottfried.
Ha!
The road is really lonely, and it only feels good when you're on stage, and it doesn't always. and you make friends just that you will never see them again, but just for the night, the crew that's there, whoever's working there, the waiters, waitresses, and stuff, and then you're on a plane or a car or a train the next day.
There are places, clubs, and entire cities I swear I've never been to. And then I get to the club and I see I've signed their wall. And that's the way I know I've been there.
Boy.
Very true.
Very honest, right?
Really good stuff, really. And some of it's really kind of, you know, some of the comics really have had some traumatic experiences. I mean, people can be really rough.
You know, it's funny because Gilbert's got a really good memory when it comes to who owes him money. So I'm sort of shocked that he doesn't remember certain comedy clubs.
Can I get that 20 for the cab row?
Yeah. We had
true story.
He did did our show in Las Vegas, and then he stayed and he ate lunch. Mm-hmm. And then he stayed and ate dinner, even though our show had been over at that point for 2 hours.
For two meals.
And then I took a cab back to his hotel in Las Vegas from where we were doing our – we were at Paris, and he was wherever he was staying or living at the time. And then sent me a bill for the cab ride.
Yeah. He did.
Oh, well, that's great. Maybe he thought Gilbert, that was part of the gig.
Gilbert, when he'd come into town, he'd come into the station and go, "Do you have any books? I need books." He would want anything that was that he could resell or do something with.
Well, he asked me to send copies of my books to him at his apartment in Manhattan. And this was like 10 years ago. And he said, "You know, Gilbert, they have bookstores in New York City."
And he was
I'm sure you get author's copies. And send me some free copies.
And he kept bugging me.
Didn't get the books again today.
He isn't crazy. I know. I mean,
and you remember that?
For 10 years.
Gave me the 20 to put inside one of my books for the cab to reimburse him. And I go, this is from Rose.
He got his money back.
I got to end this with Gilbert Gottfried because I got to give him the 20 bucks. I guess every time I would see him, he's like, you still owe me $20 for the cab ride. I go, well, maybe there's a receipt. Maybe do you have a receipt? Unfortunately, I think Gilbert would have had a receipt.
I'm sure goes, he would. I didn't know we could do that with the cabs.
Yeah.
I'll send you my receipts.
No.
I have a long Uber list.
Yeah. No. No, no. This is a totally separate situation here. This is a guy who and we're selling tickets to his show. I mean, that was the other piece. It's like, okay, I got a piece of that.
He's promoting himself, right?
Yeah. He is one funny dude. And then he became a dad.
Yeah.
Gilbert is a very
Can you imagine that?
Is a very dynamic individual. He's got a lot of different facets to him, but he became a dad in his 50s.
Yeah.
And I just can imagine.
Oh, people are doing that more and more often now. George Clooney, for example.
My guess is that Gilbert would hold the baby out the window to go to the bathroom so he does not have to worry about buying another diaper.
Gilbert had lawn furniture in his house for real. This guy makes a lot of money over the years. And he was like, why would you need different furniture for inside and outside? So he'd bring the lawn furniture in the cold weather.
Man. That's a great point, though.
It's not a bit. I mean, when you're doing it all day long in your real life, he was like in his 40s. Like four or five lawn chairs and like some picnic table.
Yeah. There should just be a documentary about Gilbert.
Oh, man.
Wasn't there something? Didn't somebody follow him?
I don't know if
there was something.
There might be.
He is really something. So we could just tell Gilbert stories all day long.
Is it true, though, he was the voice of the Affleck duck?
Yes.
Yeah. Remember, he got fired because of the tsunami jokes he made. We had him on right after that, actually, in the old place.
Yeah, and he took a number of shots at the guy who replaced him because sounds just like me.
It was a million a year, I think he told us, just to do that duck.
It was a huge contract.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Just to say.
And he needed the 20 Affleck. Bucks.
Yeah. But he needed the 20 bucks.
He needed the 20
Free bucks.
Yeah. All right.
This week on Chicago's Best, Elliot is heading north to south in search of the best bites along a classic Chicago drag at Chicago's Best of Harlem Avenue, Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV.
All right, let's talk about the Oscars with Richard Roper. We went through the entire Oscar lineup with him on Wednesday.
Did your picks?
Is that podcast up over there? Yes, it is. All right.
Thumbs up.
WGNradio.com. So you can go through all of that. I have we took each other on. I always lose. I don't know why. Because I don't see all the movies he does. I don't know why I think I can win. But
you see the trailers.
I do see the trailers, and I still read my Screen magazine to see what all the stars are doing. I see that Mickey Rooney has got another wife.
Photoplay. Still getting photoplay. What is Eddie Fisher up to now?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Oh God! What cute kids he's got. Oh, anyway, the point is this. That you believe that La La Land is going to be the big winner? If people want to go see the winner, because some people just do that. They go to the theater the weekend before. Yeah. La La Land is still in theaters some places.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
A bunch of the other ones have just made it onto the cable systems for pay-per-view.
Yeah, for your on-demand. I think Manchester by the Sea is out there now.
Moonlight.
Hacksaw Ridge. Moonlight is a special film. And, 25 years from now, when you see those lists of the greatest movies and all that stuff, Moonlight would be much more highly regarded than La La Land. It's such a singular piece of work. But I still think La La Land's going to win. Hollywood loves movies about Hollywood, whether it's Argo or
it's
Chicago or The Artist. Yeah, 14 nominations, ties the all-time record. Probably was going to win 9.
Gee, that's a lot. That's a success.
Now, I just wait for... Best documentary short, international category, and ever since Leni Riefenstahl lost, and
goodness, here we
can't get over it. So best actor, actress,
Casey Affleck, best actor, Emma Stone, best actress, Marshala Ali from Moonlight for best supporting actor, and Viola Davis for best supporting actress because she has a lead role, but they wisely put her in the supporting category so she could win.
Win.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And win she shall.
Yeah, there's certain people who have just been cleaning up in award season, and Mahershala Ali has been for Moonlight. And now I think this is and he's in some, sort of pay-per-view and deep cable and Netflix kind of stuff, and I think this is where it blows up for him.
Mm-hmm.
He blows up into something
yep.
totally separate now. And the... And it's interesting because you do have, now Viola Davis, didn't she win the Tony on
For Fences.
For Fences on Broadway? And so did Denzel Washington.
Yeah. She won for lead actress on Broadway in the exact same role as now a supporting role in the
so
movie.
So weird.
Because, well, and you know, it was her choice too, and there are no rules basically. And she, you know, I think it was a calculated career decision, and good for her because you've got Natalie Portman and Isabelle Huppert and Emma Stone and Best Actress, and she knew if she, Best Supporting, it's just a much more substantial role than the other supporting performances.
Sure.
So it's a lock.
Now this would be Emma Stone's first Oscar win, though she won.
Yes,
right? She's been nominated
for Birdman.
Right.
Yeah.
Correct.
Supporting actress. And she's in that America's Sweetheart zone right now where everybody, I mean, she is super likable, very talented. She sings, she dances, she does it all in La La Land.
We actually played a little bit of that, and she's quite good.
Yeah, the Ryan Gosling, you know, they make a big deal about how you learned how to play the piano. The singing is, it's definitely him. You can tell they didn't
dub in someone else. Yeah.
City of stars, I'm sort of trying to find my key right here. Which is okay because he's playing a guy who's more of a jazz musician and entrepreneur than singer.
Trying to make it.
Yeah, but he's not, you know, his main skill is as a pianist, not as a singer in, you know, his character itself. So
I have two upsets.
Okay.
In this. Okay. I have two upsets. I want to go on the record with these two upsets. I believe that Meryl Streep will win for actress in a leading role because they want to see her make a speech.
Know what? It's possible. It's possible.
And I'd love Emma Stone to win it because I love Emma Stone. But Meryl Streep, I just have a feeling they're going to give it to her. Or they're going to have her come up and make the speech anyway. Either way, she gets up on stage.
Can she present? Maybe she can still present.
She's probably going to. I don't know for sure if she is, but they got to get her out there just for the standing ovation. There's a crazy rumor going around in Hollywood that Viggo Mortensen's going to win for Best Actor. Because there's a little bit of a backlash against Casey Affleck because of some, you know, controversies 5 or 6 years ago and bad behavior on the set of a documentary. And Denzel Washington has two wins. They feel like a lot of Academy people might say, you know what, Viggo Mortensen's a great actor. That would be a crazy upset.
It's on cable right now, that movie, Captain Fantastic. And I saw a little bit of it. And I thought, and I was watching because I know you talked about it. You thought it's a really interesting film, right?
Yeah, I didn't love the film, but he plays like, you know, this hippie who's raising his kids in the woods. And he's a great actor.
It's an intense performance in the 4 minutes that I saw of it.
And so he shows the full Viggo in there. He's full frontal Viggo.
Little Viggo or big Viggo in this particular case. I'm going to get a medium
sized judge.
Viggo.
It's outdoors. It's a little chilly in the morning.
Oh, please.
Oh, thank God.
Nothing to be ashamed of.
All right. Thank you, Richard. Tom Skilling's going to join us. But first, speaking of cold outside, Judy Pilak has news 2 minutes away.